are on purpose. Plumbing's all different. Your curves are all different. You're wired with emotions that the men will never in a million years figure out or get. And they're not supposed to. You are the social piece of God's family. There are no parties without you. You do realize that, don't you? There are none. If you're waiting for your husband to throw you a birthday party, you're going to be very disappointed. You have to actually probably get your girlfriends together and tell them what you want and let them help him organize it. I'm just going to save you a lot of grief, okay? My 40th birthday, no party. 50th birthday, he threw something together. And I finally got it, and I finally realized, okay, on my 60th birthday, we are going to have a ball. We are going to have an all-out party, and I'm organizing it behind the scenes, because otherwise I won't get it. What am I saying? I think when we start to get who we are, and we start to just really enjoy being girls and being in love with him and that he's in love with us, then we start to do life the way he wants us to. And you cannot get who you are without the girl next to you. Actually, you need each other. So we have designed a way for you to connect. And I really want to encourage you to connect. Doesn't mean you don't love your husbands. It doesn't mean you don't love your families. It just means you need women in your life. And maybe some of you have all the women in your life you can handle, but maybe some of you don't have any. So we want to volunteer to be your sisters, to be your family, to love you, to believe in you, and to kick you in the butt when you need a good kick in the butt. So tonight, just in the next moments that we have together, I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight in the Word of God, but I want to just tell you some things from my heart. Is that okay? I just want to talk from the heart tonight. I didn't even really prepare this message. I just sat down at my typewriter after a very, very busy and somewhat traumatic day for me. And I said, Lord, I just don't want to just preach something that, you know, I can pull up off my computer. I want to just say some things from my heart to the girls. So I just wrote down four little things. If I could talk to you tonight and just talk to you girl to girl, woman to woman, older woman to younger woman, because I'm probably just about the oldest woman in here. Are there older girls in here than me? Oh, there you are. You're not much older. We're the old ladies of the house. I told my husband this morning, I am brand new at being old. Brand new at it. It's a new journey for me. If I could just talk to you from my heart, and if I could just cozy up, if we had a fire going in my house, and we were just sitting around and just doing what girls do so well, which is to talk, and I could just tell you four things. This is the four things that I'd want to say to you tonight. And it's just some things from my heart. And everybody's got notes, because this isn't on PowerPoint, because I changed it. And then the table talk is on the back of it. So everybody's got the table talk tonight, okay? Are you good? Father, thank you for these girls. Thank you that they love you. They're here. And Lord, I ask that you would take them by the heart and that you would lead them this year into the most amazing year they've ever had. And even though our world may be rocking and rolling and reeling and filled with so many things that we don't understand, Father, you're solid and stable, and you are able to keep us. And the things that we commit to you, you are able to see us through them, Lord. So tonight, Lord, I ask that you'd help these girls, that you'd help them by revealing yourself to them, that they would this year become more intimate with you and hear your voice more than they've ever heard you in all their lives. Because, Papa, when we hear you, when you talk to us, we're never the same. So talk to the girls. Holy Spirit, talk to us. Settle us down and talk to us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you probably should turn your cell phones off because they're going to go off on you. Okay, some things on my heart. Four things. Fear God. That's big on my heart lately. Guard your heart. Listen to the voice of the Word. Smile. Do your best and let Him do the rest. Those four things, okay? So the first one I want to talk to you about is the fear of the Lord. In AM, we've been doing a study on the holiness of God and our holiness. And whenever you start to delve into holiness, which is not a word we use, and it's not a word you probably use in a sentence every day, do you? You probably don't wake up in the morning and say, I am holy. Do you say that? No. Okay, I didn't think you did. Just checking. It's not a word we use, and it's a word that is a God word because God is defined as holy. When John went up to the throne of God in the book of Revelation in the fourth chapter, and he saw the throne of God, and it's very graphically displayed, the angels that overshadow that throne cried out one thing. They cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And God defines himself as holy. It's not a word we can really wrap our minds around. And you're tired and you've had a long day, so I don't want to go there. But the beginning of the fear of God and the beginning of actually stepping into a reverence for God is to desire to know him and to fear him. And I believe with all my heart that when I begin to, in my life, decide that I am going to let the fear of God perfect some things in my life, holiness is one of the many other things, that my life changes. So I just want to just talk to you a little bit about the fear of God, because that's number one. Because I think that we have exchanged some things in this 21st century church for the fear of the Lord and holiness. I think we've actually exchanged holiness and the fear of the Lord for coolness and trends. I think that God wants to do some very, very supernatural things and that he longs to reveal himself to us. But there are things in our lives that we have allowed and tolerated and not hated, and it actually keeps us on the outside and not coming in to the holy place and seek his face. And I believe he's saying to the girls, because I think the girls hear the cry first. I think you're wired by God with some very special equipment. And yes, we're emotional. And yes, the men can think we're unstable. But God knows us. And I think if you search your heart and you're really honest with yourself, I think you want to hear the voice of God. And you want to know him like you've never known him before. Because we can fill our lives up with busyness. We can fill our lives up with church. We can fill our lives up with activities and being a taxi driver for the kids and for their sports and serving everybody else. But I really think God wants more than anything else to just draw us away and say, will you come and hear my voice and seek my face and know the fear of the Lord? So let's just talk about the fear of the Lord for just a little bit, because that's kind of where I'm at right now. Is that all right? I have to teach you what's coming into my heart. You know, I've served God for years. I've been a pastor for years. And yet there's something on the inside of me. There's something on the inside of me that says, I got to know him more. I don't know if it's a storm coming or there's a storm now. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, but I just feel like I got to press in. I got to know this God that knows me, that if he loved me so much that he couldn't live without me and he died for me, then I got to give him everything I have, everything. And so the Word of God says that the fear of the Lord, number one, is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom can't even start in my life without fearing God. Now, I'm not talking about being afraid of God so that you don't love him. I'm talking about being so in awe of him that you don't want to do anything in your life that would offend him. You're so aware of his heart and his eyes and his hands and his thinking and his ways and his kingdom that you don't want to do anything that he wouldn't want you to do. You don't want to touch anything that he wouldn't want you to touch. Now, I'm not there, but I want to be there. I want to love him that much. I want to hear his voice like that. Does anybody else want that? Now, maybe you don't right now, and it's okay, because I'm just an older woman talking to some of you young girls. But I can tell you right now that on this planet, there is nothing. You haven't experienced it yet. Not that I've experienced all that, but I've experienced a lot. And nothing that he's done for me, and it's been a lot. I've traveled the world. I've been wealthy. I've been broke. I'm married to the most magnificent, amazing man. I have awesome kids. I have an incredible life. Anything I want, I probably could have. I could probably go into any store and I could buy whatever I wanted to buy. That's the kind of life he's given me now. But I'm here to tell you that there isn't anything on this planet that even compares to the fact that I have the ability and the privilege of knowing him and hearing his voice and loving him. And having his presence in my life. The fear of the Lord, if you look at your notes, it says that the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 8:13 is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth, God says, I hate. So if I'm going to fear God, if I'm going to love him, and if I'm going to respect him and honor him, then I guess to really grow in the fear of the Lord, I'm going to hate what he hates. Just hate what he hates and love what he loves. But I got to learn what that is. So I guess I want to ask you, what is it you tolerate in your life that God may hate? Now, the first thing you're going to think of is the bad things. Okay, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. You know, you're going to go to the negative because you're girls and you're the hardest on yourselves more than anybody else. I know you. How many of you just went to the negative? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. And the first thing is you thought, oh, God, I'm a sinner. That's, you know, then you thought about, then condemnation will come quickly. Then the devil will just jump right on that. Okay. But what if God is saying to you, if you're going to hate what I hate, then why don't you start hating the lies that the enemy has spoken to you and that you've tolerated and you've agreed with and you've spoken over yourself? What if I told you God hates that? What if I told you that God hates it when you don't like yourselves? When you put yourselves down? When you look at yourselves and you say, I'm so stupid. Nobody cares about me. I've got nothing to say. I'm unimportant. I have nothing to give. When you look at your bodies and you hate your bodies and you look at your life and you hate your life and you look at this and you look at that and you say to yourself, I could never do that. Oh, I wish I could be like her. What if I said to you, those are things that God hates. And yet we have lived with those for so long. What if I said to you, maybe this year God wants to just clean you out. Wash you and let you see yourself as he sees you. Magnificent, brilliant, lovely, wired for heaven and wired for this generation and wired for the life that he's given you and the influence that he wants you to have. But you've listened to the wrong things. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now let's look at some stuff. Let's go to number two. Guard your heart, because nothing in your life is going to happen without it coming from the heart. This isn't about your behavior. This is about your heart. If God wanted robots, if he wanted women who were slaves to him, he could have just consigned us to heaven and said, you will serve me, and we could have been his slaves. But he wanted a bride that would love him. He wanted to bring forth a company of people that would love him so much that they would be willing to follow him anywhere, do whatever he asked them to do, believe him and trust him, and actually be head over heels in love with what he loves. But if I don't guard my heart, this world will steal God's destiny and God's vision right out of me because Satan's after your heart. That's why Paul said over and over again, we do not lose heart. He's after your heart. He wants to discourage your heart. He wants to condemn your heart. He wants doubt and unbelief to reside in your heart so that faith can't rise up, so that you can't stand as a woman of God and begin to look up. And as you begin to see who God is, and then you begin to understand who you are because you're made in His image, faith begins to rise up on the inside of you, and you begin to decree the word of God and declare who you are and what God wants over your families and over your destinies. You see, if He can steal your heart, you'll never do that. Because it says in Proverbs, you look at your notes. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now go with me if you've got your Bibles, and we're just going to look at this. I didn't put it on the notes, but let's just read it for a second. Proverbs 4, it's in the Old Testament right after the book of Psalms. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That word issues is borders and boundaries. Out of your heart is going to spring your boundaries and your borders and how big your life is going to be. That's what the word issue means if you look it up in the Hebrew. And God is saying your issues, your borders, your boundaries, how large your life can be, how much destiny you can fulfill in me is all going to come out of your heart. And then he says this, if you look with me in verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Lies. Lies that we listen to and that we say over ourselves. Lies that we, in our foolishness, judge other women and our family and the body of Christ and humanity with. A deceitful mouth. What does God say about him? If I'm not saying that, it's a lie. Are you hearing what I just said? Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And I belong to God. And once you begin to fear God, you realize, wait a second, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. This tongue doesn't belong to me anymore. This body doesn't belong to me anymore. I don't have the luxury of an undisciplined mind because it's been purchased by the blood of Jesus. I belong to Him. And therefore, I have got to walk worthy of the call of God on my life, which is to be a daughter, a saint, a holy one, and fulfill destiny in my generation. Keep yourself. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Twisted speech. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Guard my heart. Okay, so let me ask you some questions. What is it that you allow yourself to look at? If I'm going to guard my heart, I've got gates. I've got an eye gate. I've got an ear gate. I've got a mouth gate. Are you hearing me? Things come into my heart. Thoughts come into my heart. Influence comes into my heart. Words come into my heart. What am I looking at? What am I allowing before my eyes? Am I watching things I shouldn't be watching? Do I allow my eyes to turn to things that I know He would not approve of if He were there with me, which He is? And look, this can get pretty up close and personal, but I'm telling you, I believe God's calling us to holiness. He's calling us to the fear of the Lord. He's calling us to know Him like we've never known Him in this cool, trendy, fast-paced, crazy world that we're living, where everybody's on Facebook, everybody's Twittering, everybody's doing this fast, 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 cool, 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 new trend, new this, new that. God is saying to this generation of women, can I find you and trust you? What are you putting before your eyes? What do you allow in your home, and what do you allow yourself to look at? How about, who do I allow to speak into my life? Who's talking to you? The fear of the Lord, remember the first thing I wanted to talk to you about was the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. You know what that tells me? That when I hear Dr. Phil, when I hear Oprah, when I hear anybody, whether it's our president or our vice president or our senators or our government or our governor or anyone who is ruling over me. When I hear them, is Jesus Christ the foundation of their lives? Because if he's not, the fear of the Lord is not in them, and they have no wisdom that I want to hear, because they are of the earth and they are not of heaven. Who is speaking into your life? Your friends? Friends can tell you that marriage, your marriage isn't going to work. Your husband, he's not worth staying for. Your kids aren't going to make it. That job, you're never going to get promoted. You're never going to find a better job. You can listen to the news, and you can hear right now that California is not going to come out of this recession until the year 2011. We can hear all the bad news, but is the fear of the Lord in that news? And if it's not, then there's no wisdom. And why am I letting that influence my heart? You see, the word says, guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, it's what I've got. It's who I am. It's my spirit. It's where the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I'm made in the image of God. My heart is who I am. And God says, it is who you are. You are valuable. Heaven spent everything it had to take that heart and redeem it and make it a woman of God. Therefore, you better hold it precious and you better guard it, child, because it's everything to me. What do I meditate on? What do I think about? What do I rehearse over and over again? Guard your heart. If it's not the wisdom of God, if it's not the truth of God, junk it, cast it down, and move on. Guard your heart with all wisdom, for out of it flows the issues, your borders and your boundaries, your destiny, your influence, and the good works that God has already ordained for you to walk in. Before you were ever born, before your DNA was ever set, before you were ever breathing your first breath of earth's air, God had already organized your destiny and the good works and the amazing things he wanted you to do for him that nobody else could do. Satan's out to steal it. Tell you you're worth nothing. This is all there's going to be for you. But God's got a whole different plan. But I got to guard my heart, because Satan's out to steal my heart. So the third thing I'd say to you is, shh. Listen to the voice of the word. Because God wants to speak to me. And God wants to speak to me through his word. And I've got to fall in love with the Word of God. Sometimes you've got to fall in love with the Word of God again, because you've gotten away from it. Because it's something you feel like you got to do. It's your exercise. Like you put on your makeup or take a shower. If you don't have your devotion and your prayer time, you're feeling a little guilty. But you see, that's the law. God says, I want to woo you. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you about your day. I want to show you what's coming. I want to whisper in your ear. I want to show you my heart. And I want to show you, as you look at me, child, I want to show you you. Because when you look into my face, you see your face. But it's all found in the Word. And we got to fall in love with the Word again. In this generation, I just talked to a great woman of God that's coming to Daughters. We were talking. I said, you know, we've got 30 minutes. And that's about it for each session. And she's a prolific author. She's written many, many books. She's going to be doing a seminar on Friday. She is an amazing woman of God. And I believe she's got wisdom to bring to us. But she says, I know. She says, in these books that I've written, I've had to do it fast, 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 because they can't pay attention. We are the ADD generation. And that's a lie. Because you see, God's not in a hurry. He's God. He stopped time for Joshua when Joshua needed to take out the enemy. Joshua looked at the sun and said, "Sun, stand still in the sky until I've taken out the enemies of the Lord." And that sun didn't move for 24 hours. The word says nothing has ever been prayed like that before or since. But Joshua knew God, and he knew his voice, and he knew who God was. What if I told you your relationship with your Father can be that powerful? And he wants that in your life. But we've got to fall in love with the Word of God. Shh. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Let me read this to you in the Message Bible, John 6:62. It's in your notes. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "What would happen if you saw the Son of Man ascending to where he came from? The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word, and so it is life-making." When you begin to read the Word of God, and when you begin to say, "Lord, I'm not here for devotions. I'm not here for my 15 minutes. I'm not here to put in my time. Lord, maybe I haven't opened my Bible all week long, but God, I am now here, and I've got to hear from you. Holy Spirit, you're my teacher. Here I am. Talk to me in the Word." And you begin to open that book will begin to open up to you. And you will hear him. You'll hear him tonight. He's speaking to some of you. You'll hear him in the sanctuary because he longs to teach you. Nothing happens without the Word of God. I want to read a story to you because this is my favorite story. When I was a drug addict, when I was coming back to the Lord, when I'd been with too many men and I'd made too many wrong choices, I could have looked at my life and I could have said, "I'm ashamed, I don't belong in a church," and I was. And I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. But somehow, God got me hooked up with a radical man of faith, Jim Cobray. And he said, "It's the Word that's going to change you. It's the Word that is full of power and active and alive and sharp and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, Debbie. If you'll begin to listen to the Word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you begin to immerse yourself in God's Word, as you begin to hear it and do it, child, as you begin to listen to God, God's Word begins to listen to you, and it begins to mold you and change you and shape you and rearrange you, and you will become what you've never been." And that was 30 years ago, and I have become what I never dreamed I could ever be because of the voice of the Lord in the Word of God. Now, this is a true story. It's the story of the Bounty Bible. Do you remember Mutiny on the Bounty? The story of Christian Fletcher, Captain Bligh. True story. Discovered Tahiti. Such a wicked, evil captain that Christian Fletcher mutinied. And they threw him overboard in a little rowboat. And he and his crew actually made it back to England. They didn't die. And they came after Christian Fletcher and the crew that mutinied in Tahiti on the ship Bounty. This is a true story. On April 28th, 1789, Fletcher Christian staged the most famous mutiny in history on the English ship, the HMS Bounty. In the South Pacific, the captain, William Bligh, and those loyal to him were set adrift in an overloaded lifeboat, which they miraculously navigated 3,700 miles to Timor. The mutineers on the Bounty immediately began quarreling about what to do next. Fletcher returned to Tahiti, where he left some of the mutineers, kidnapped some of the women, took some slaves, and traveled with the remaining mutineers 1,000 miles to the uninhabited Pitcairn Island. There, their group quickly unraveled. They distilled whiskey from a native plant. Drunkenness and fighting characterized their colony. Disease and murder eventually took their lives and the lives of all the men except one, Alexander Smith. Alexander Smith found himself the only man on the island, surrounded by an assortment of women and children. Then Smith found the Bounty Bible. As he read it, his heart was transformed, and he began to instruct the survivors of their community. He taught the scriptures and helped to implement its instructions. The message of Jesus Christ so transformed their lives that 20 years later, in 1808, when the crew of the Topaz landed on the island, they found a joyful society of Christians living in prosperity and peace, free from crime, disease, murder, and mutiny. That Bible resides today on display in the church in Pitcairn Island as a monument to its transforming message. That little neglected Bible on bounty, found by one man who said, I'm going to read it and I'm going to do it, transformed an entire community of stranded women and children that should have been left to die. God's word will change you. It will change your family. It will change your world. It will change your life. But I've got to stop and listen. Not because I have to, but because I get to. Fall in love again with the word. The last thing I want to say. Number four. Smile. Do your best and let him do the rest. Smile. Come on, look at me and smile. Let me see those beautiful teeth. Let me see those beautiful, beautiful, beautiful faces. I was complaining to God the other day, and I said, Lord, I need a facelift. I'm getting so old. Everything's falling. And he looked at me, and he said, child, will you just smile? It'll give your face an instant lift. I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. I just have to go through life smiling more, and it lifts everything up. Now, what does that mean? It means God loves you. He doesn't have you on a treadmill. He doesn't have you on this crazy life of so busy that you can't find yourself or hear him. He says, do your best. Give it your best. But let him and let grace carry you where you need to be. And I just want to end with this. Romans chapter 12, and these are the 10 commandments for girlfriends that I wrote from this. And we're going to go to the tables. You all right with me? Romans 12, 9 through 21. I love this in the Message Bible. It says, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. I love that. Don't burn out. Girls, guard your hearts. God needs you. He hasn't called you to burn out. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians be inventive in hospitality. Help. Be inventive in hospitality. Yeah, times are tough. And that means that God's going to show us all kinds of creative ways to be hospitable and to give more, to do more. Yeah, we don't have the money, but whoever said we have to have money? He made the universe. It's not about money. It's about faith, and it's about a servant heart that's willing to believe God for the impossible and willing to give our lives away. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch, or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Do not let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Girls, you are a treasure. You are his workmanship. You are his work of art. I know you may not feel like it, but that's who you are. That's why if you go to the cell groups and the small groups, we're studying Proverbs 31. Because you got to get Proverbs 31 on the inside of you. It's not this woman that can do everything to just to make you feel bad. And that's what I used to think. Till God said, you're reading it wrong. Proverbs 31 is not who you should be. It's who you already are. You just don't know how to connect with the amazing woman I've put on the inside because you're made in my image. What is God saying? He says, if you'll fear me, if you'll love what I love and hate what I hate, wisdom will begin to come into your life. He says, number two, what did I say? Guard your heart, because your borders and your boundaries are bound up in your heart. Satan's after your heart. Then he says, shh, listen to the voice of the word. It'll change you. Listen to the God whisper. He wants to whisper, talk to you, but you have to be quiet. Let him talk, which means you don't have to get in the word. It's not a read through the Bible in a year kind of a thing, and you get guilty if you're behind in chapters. Does anybody do that beside me? This is the law. He doesn't want us under the law. He wants us under grace. And number four, smile. Do your best and let him do the rest. I'm going to end with this. It's a little statement from Mother Teresa. It's called Anyway, and I love it. Mother Teresa hung a copy of this poem on a wall of the orphanage she founded in Calcutta. Its source is unknown. It says, people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. People may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. When you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It's never between you and them anyway. Amen. I love you. Mwah!